Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday night, May the 1st, 2026. May Day, 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan tonight. Matt, what's coming up at 10:15?
Coming up at 10:15, we are going to talk a tiny bit about the draft. I wanted to just mention how many players from specifically the Big Ten went to the NFL. And then we're going to talk about, you know, just general politics stories.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind that you would like to talk about.
I should mention that I'll be joined by Adam tonight. I don't think I mentioned that. Adam Lee.
Oh, it's been a while.
It has, yes.
So how'd you get him tonight?
We went to the Half Price Books the other day in Lewis Center. And he was just like, you know what, this was just somehow, I think about messaging you and seeing if I could come on or just maybe just sit and listen. And I was like, I mean, you know, open invitation, I guess. So he's coming back.
Well, that's good. You'll have a guest.
Yes. It'll be exciting.
I think that's nice. I think that's, you know, did we talk about Tucker Carlson last week on this show? I don't remember if we did or not.
We talked about Tucker Carlson, but I don't remember for what.
Anyway, I think this is emblematic of a much bigger problem. But Tucker Carlson has apologized for endorsing President Trump and says he will be tormented by it for a long time. So, do you forgive Tucker Carlson?
Yep.
Well, that's quick.
I do know that there was some emails or something back when he ran for president, I think the first time, maybe the second time, in which Tucker Carlson said that he just couldn't stand him. So I think he probably endorsed Donald Trump because it was popular. It was probably a popularity move then, and I assume this is probably a popularity move. But I think that, I don't think it does you any good to tell him that no. If he says he feels bad about it, which he very well might. I mean, I don't think he thought that this was going to happen when he endorsed Donald Trump. I think he just thought it was going to make him a little more popular. And,
Okay, but would you forgive a friend? What is forgivable and what is not forgivable?
In what?
A friendship. See, that's called a segue.
I feel like that's just one of those things I'll know it when it happens.
Well, is there anything to you that's not forgivable?
There were some crimes that if I find out that you did them, I wouldn't be able to, like, I'd be like, what's wrong with you, you know? But I think forgive, not forget's a good way to go about things. Everybody's going to do something to bother you to some extent. I think you just gotta pick.
Well, I've talked about some people hold a grudge. Now, I'm not really sure.
There's no point to hold a grudge.
Yeah, but it happens, though. So my point is that some people do. So what kind of personality flaw is that? I think it's a character flaw.
Holding a grudge?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a word if I thought hard enough.
Well, I told you recently about the conversation I had with somebody. I can't remember when I was absolutely kidding. And tell the story.
It was a message, wasn't it?
It was a message, yeah.
Well, I don't remember what the message was, but so.
Well, you got to tell it because people might not have heard it.
Oh, well, then I need you to the message.
The message was to the person. I asked how they were doing. And there was like a long pause and they weren't answering. And I said something to the effect of, it doesn't matter if you answer or not. It's just when I see somebody mediocre, it reminds me of you, so I reach out. And boy, they did not. Immediately, I got a response on that. And it was, it's comments like that is why, comments like that are why we don't talk very much anymore. Now, see, that's bull because they did see my original message. They were just not answering, but I got up under their you know, they got their nose all out of joint. So then they answered. I thought it was funny.
Well, it's a you got. I'll cut them a little.
They still got their nose out of joint.
Yes,
they do. And you know what? That's fine. I cannot pull their nose out of joint. That's just how they are.
I'll cut them a little bit of slack because it's a message, and you can't hear tone of voice or anything like that. It's all just how you read it.
Do they believe that? That is reality. That would happen. There's a media. Yo, you know what? I should message this person. I mean, that's so stupid.
Fair enough, I guess. I mean, I don't think that's a logical chain of actions.
I mean, it's like leprechauns or something. I'm talking about, I saw a leprechaun, reminded me of you. I mean, really? You thought that's what really happened? That's what I really did.
Oh, I they probably just read it as like an insult and not a joke.
Well, it was a jab, but it wasn't serious. Oh, you can't handle it.
I think a lot of, I don't know why, there were like, that's not like the worst thing you could have said to somebody. I mean,
it still got their nose out of joint. They're still out of joint about that one.
I don't know why, like, you know, I don't know why things bother people so much sometimes.
I think this person, I hate to say it, has some serious psychological issues that they're going through. Now, they don't like to hear that, but I believe that. And I almost feel sorry for them, but I don't want to say that because they don't like that either. So there's something going on there for like the last 6 or 8 months something's off.
Well, you might want to take that up with that person.
They don't want to hear it.
Oh, so you have taken it up with that person.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, they're nice. Fine. They're happier than ever. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope that's the truth, I guess. But, wager not.
Well, but I told you not too long ago, another person, totally different situation. It's been years since, the person who snubbed me at the fair.
Yeah.
Ran into him at the hospital cafeteria. Like I didn't see him. And got the heck out of there like nobody's business. What was I going to do? What was I going to say to that person?
Cause a big scene
in the
hospital cafeteria.
Hospital cafeteria after years. Like I really even care what this person's doing now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's about how it goes. I mean,
you know what I would have said? How are you?
Yep.
How you doing? How's your family? That's probably about the extent of it.
Yep. You know, get the pleasantries out of the way. I'm like, oh, well, nice seeing you.
But they couldn't manage that. To them, it was like, whoa.
pulling nails.
Well, I don't know. I mean, don't you find that to be a huge character flaw? I mean, what a... years. What did I do to this person?
There's no reason to snub people, I think. I mean, how hard is it to, how are you doing, you know, like, come
that's
on.
I could do that with somebody who killed my family. I could tell, how are you doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, just, you know, I mean, it's not like you gotta, like, put a whole lot of just, how are you doing, and then, you know, keep on keeping on.
You know what's annoying about the whole thing is both of these people, in my life, I have done nice things for. It's not like we have bad mojo over the years. But boy, apparently something happened with both of them that just, woo, rough going. But I think that'll, you know, they might live to be old, but I think they'll live a sad life.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, because it's depressing to have that type of attitude.
That's nice.
But I forgive them for their bad attitudes. I forgive them for their snubs. I forgive them for their noses out of joint.
Well,
I forgive it.
There's no point to hold a grudge.
No, I still, if I saw them tomorrow, I would say hello.
A lot of the times I'll forget, like, things that, like if I don't know, I was upset with somebody who did something. I'd usually just forget about it until I see him again and be like, oh, yeah, well, that was, you know, a while ago.
I don't remember it until an event like that happens. And then see? That's why that person's got problems.
Well, I think if you were in in their shoes, you'd do the same thing, I guess?
No, I would not.
Well,
there is no way I would run out of a cafeteria.
Like, if you traded places with them, Adam for Adam, you do the same thing, because you would buy all, like,
no, because
possibilities
I'm not,
them.
I don't even know what they have. What do they think's going to happen?
Huh?
What do they think's going to happen?
Well, you would know if you were them.
I know nothing's gonna happen.
I wouldn't expect anything's gonna happen. I mean, you're in a hospital cafeteria. I mean, come on.
Listen, I have told the story on the air. There was a person related to a political person in this town who came in to the grocery store and yelled at me.
Yes, I remember
you
this.
You witnessed this.
Yes, I was there.
Yes, and how did I handle that?
It was like, oh, okay, well, yeah.
Did I yell back?
No.
Did I hold a grudge against this person?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so if I can deal with that, well, what are these people who I actually have been nice to over the years? What's their problem?
Some people who are just touchy.
God almighty. Silly people.
I don't know. I think some people just... You know, they just are like that, I guess.
See, I forgive Tucker Carlson because I understand he might have got it wrong.
Well, I don't think it would do you any good to not forgive Tucker Carlson. First off, why were you mad at Tucker Carlson to begin with?
Well, people don't like him.
Well,
they believe he's just out for clicks. And I don't think he's sincere. Now, I don't believe he's sincere. I believe he will say what gets him clicks at this point.
I don't know. I mean, I have to...
I believe him and that other one. What's the... Megyn Kelly. I don't think they believe anything they say. I think they believe what will get them clicks.
Who's Megyn Kelly?
She's a podcaster.
Basically same thing as Tucker Carlson?
Yeah.
Okay. There are like four people in that group, well, five, that I used to watch, and I had never heard of her. But, yeah.
But I believe they will say anything to get clicks. I don't think it has any... I don't believe there's any core beliefs in either one of them.
I don't know that that's... I mean, I think a lot of the stuff they say is to get clicks, but I don't think that that's like all of it.
I believe this was to get clicks.
Nah.
I think it was. What turned him around?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people who have been turned around on Trump, and I think Trump turned
First
him around.
First of all, we know that he didn't like him in 2021 because we saw his emails.
Yes.
So did he? So was he? Is he turned around, or has he turned around many times?
Oh well.
How many
yes,
times can you see the light?
Yes, that's fair. I guess he never turned around. He was just honest this time. He said, "Well."
Well, see, but what do we? What is honesty? See, that's the problem you have with somebody like this. Was he honest in that email? Was he honest when he endorsed the president? Was he honest when he is doing what he's? Is he honest now?
I don't know. Well,
I think he's doing what gets clicks.
Why would you be honest in public, dishonest in private? It doesn't make any sense. You'd have to do it the back, like the other way around. You could be honest in private and then publicly say whatever.
Yeah, but in public he's been both ways.
Now?
Yeah.
Well, now he doesn't like Trump. Well, apparently he never liked Trump, but now he...
But did he? I don't know. That's what I said. I don't know what the truth is. I think he does... What will get him clicks?
I don't think he ever liked Trump. It just makes more sense to... Because I could tell the truth in a private conversation, and it just wouldn't make sense to lie in a private conversation
and tell
the truth in public.
That's not necessarily true. Depends on who you're talking to.
To lie in a private conversation and tell the truth in public.
Yeah, because what if it gets out?
So Tucker Carlson... The right-wing podcaster, or whatever you want to call him, the whole commentator, he's gonna lie to somebody and say, I don't like Trump. How does that benefit him? He's a right-wing podcaster.
Because this is the guy leading your party. And the majority of your viewers probably like him.
Yeah, and it did end up coming out, but he endorsed Donald Trump.
Right. So was that fake?
The endorsement?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a real endorsement, I guess, but I don't think he... I think, as far as there was a video for it, but I don't think he was... I mean, I think he probably did it because he thought it would make him more popular.
Okay, so what is reality then?
He didn't like Trump.
Okay, but would he have ever endorsed anybody else over Trump?
Probably not.
Okay, then both things are true.
I think he probably does feel bad for endorsing Trump. Again, I don't think he thought, you know, all this was going to happen.
I don't know. But as life goes along, you'll understand that people hold grudges, especially the older they get. I think they have less patience.
Sometimes I think people just like to have problems, you know?
I don't know.
I don't
care for problems.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of the things that people will, like, you know, are problems, just, there's nothing you can do about them. Why do you care? I mean, if you can't change the fact, then you just might as well forget about it. It happened. It's over. Or it's still going on, but you have no say in it, so...
Well, we're coming up later on this month on Memorial Day, so I'm getting ready for the grill story.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah, three times a year I get to tell it. 4th of July, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. And I love that story because, again, it really exemplifies what insanity is.
I don't think that's the case.
Well, see, again, you're wrong, but that's okay.
I mean... I guess, who was it? Albert Einstein, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again. And
well, you can't trust that guy. You just see his hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't trust a guy with hair like that.
Okay. No, he knew, you know, the government trusted enough to make a nuclear weapon, so I...
And he regretted it.
He
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, feel free. 30 minutes past the hour on this May Day, 2026.
I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but I know World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
Okay.
That's Albert Einstein.
Well, again, he was a kind of a weird fellow. He apparently wasn't much of a father to his kids.
I can believe that. I can believe that. He's a different kind of guy.
Well, you know, he's one of those people.
I know. There's another quote from Albert Einstein that has nothing to do with anything. It's just the whole, everybody's a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its whole life believing it's stupid.
Uh-huh.
That's also Albert Einstein. Three of them. Boom. Actually, I got four Albert Einstein quotes.
But I don't think he's a...
I got a fourth Albert Einstein quote.
I think he was a little nuts.
Albert Einstein? Oh, yes, probably. I mean, he was certainly an interesting kind of guy. You know, I don't know. He apparently never got his hair cut. He dressed just about the same every day because he decided that, you know, deciding what to wear just took too much effort, so all of his clothes look the same.
Weirdo.
The story about him failing math class in school is a lie, though. He was a genius. Never failed math.
Well, why was he the last genius?
Well, I don't think he is the last genius.
I think he's the last one seen on that level. That everybody knows, and people like posters of him, and that whole bit.
Well, people like posters of him, because he got, like, photographed doing stupid stuff, like, you know, eyes wide open, sticking his tongue out, like, you know.
Yeah, but he became a phrase. You know, he became, you know, Einstein. I mean, yeah. That his name became genius, you know? Nobody else has done that.
Well, I mean, the man, I mean, he found, like, what would you even say? He created E equals MC squared, discovered it?
That's what I'm saying. Why was he the last genius? Why haven't we had a genius since him? Why did he become synonymous with genius?
Well, I mean, the man helped make a nuclear bomb. The man created general relativity. He had E equals MC squared. I mean, he expanded on Newtonian physics. I mean, like, he was a genius. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Yeah,
he was the last genius.
I mean, he was the last, yeah, the last one to do that much, I guess. I mean, I'm sure we got people on his level now, but I mean, you know, it only gets harder the farther you go.
You know, there was somebody he wanted to meet who was famous, and he sent a letter to him. And I don't think they ever went to see him. But,
Einstein? Oh, I would have loved to go see Einstein.
Well, he was at the end of his life, I think, at that point. So it just wasn't a whole lot of time. But I'm trying to remember who he wrote a letter to. But it was like an oddball type of a person.
Now, I don't remember what it was also, but, go ahead. Continue your story.
I don't remember. I don't remember who it was. It was either a movie star or a television star or somebody. But they, Einstein wrote him a note and said they enjoyed what they did and wanted to meet him at some point, but then he died soon after that.
Oh, well. Unfortunate. Einstein was a cool guy.
Kind of wish I could remember who that was.
Charlie Chaplin.
No.
I don't know. I took a guess.
No. Anyway.
He seemed like the kind of person who'd want to meet Charlie Chaplin.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people Einstein wanted to meet, and a lot of people who probably met him, but I'm trying to remember who this person was who was telling the story about getting the letter from him, but then never going to see him. Anyway.
Michelle Bezos?
No.
Well, that was apparently like one of the last person he sent a letter to, and that was like, I don't know, I guess one of his friends.
See, he kind of was nuts at the end, I guess. Oh, how about Larry Barnett on the show this week? Holy mackerel.
I did not know he was on the show.
Oh, well, you missed a morning there. That was Wednesday morning. Holy mackerel.
What do you have to say?
He's got stage 4 cancer. He's terminal and got 6 months to live.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's no good.
Oh, you think?
I don't know what else to say. I mean,
it was one of the most, I don't know, what a morning.
Yeah, that's sad.
But you were listening to music.
Yeah, I was listening to music. That's right.
It was really, I don't know. The man, though, approaches it with such good spirits. I mean, it really is. It's a, I don't know. May we all be that, have that temperament with something like that going on in your life.
Here's hoping.
And it's just that's a morning you don't forget.
Well, I can imagine.
But such a good guy. That's why to me politics is not that important. And movie stars aren't that important. It's telling a story like that. That was important. Who wins an election? La-dee-da. You know, those are the things you remember.
Well, that's rough.
Well, you got a lot to say on that? That shut you right up.
Well, it's not a thing. Cancer's not a thing I really like to talk about.
Well, I don't think we. I thought him talking about it was incredibly brave and probably helped a lot of people.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
And only Larry Barnett, an umpire, could say, I said, what did the doctor tell you about the cancer? And he said, it's in your bones, it's in your blood, it's in your liver. And I said, 3 strikes and you're out.
Oh, come on.
Only Larry Barnett. But I said, Larry, this isn't going to be the last interview. And he said, I'll be back. I think he will.
Well, I hope so.
Good guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know. That's a good, right? You just don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. Boy, you're full of it now. One of the listeners out there tonight, just going to ignore Stephen Hawking. Apparently in the Albert Einstein conversation.
Yeah, that's right. And see, there's got to be somebody. Yeah, well, he was like black holes, and I mean, he wasn't exactly. I mean, yeah, he was a genius, but I still think Einstein was better than Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
He was like black holes and things.
Well, people liked him.
Well, yeah. I liked Stephen Hawking.
I don't know.
He just wasn't Einstein, you know? And Einstein had personality!
Didn't Einstein live at Princeton?
Live at Princeton?
I believe he lived on a college campus, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I know he fled from Germany before World War II.
I don't think he could manage himself.
I'm sure he could manage himself.
Oh, I don't think so.
You think he was just like
I don't think he could cook. I don't think he could go to the grocery store.
You think
store.
He was just a genius to such an extent that like all of his brain power was like mathematics and physics?
He didn't seem like somebody who could function properly.
he lived for a while. I mean, he certainly seemed to know what was happening.
I don't think he had friends.
And he developed a nuclear bomb and was like, that's the worst decision I ever made in my life.
Yeah, I just don't think he was on the level.
By the way, you know, on the topic of making a nuclear bomb and then regretting it, when we went and saw Neil deGrasse Tyson, when we went and saw Neil deGrasse Tyson, he was talking about how, like, you know, basically just war's bad, that whole kind of concept. But then he went on to say that, like he's been to, like, the DMZ and how, like, physicists help the military decide when bombs are gonna detonate to cause, like, the most, like, I was like, okay! So this man's gone to, like, the DMV to provide military assistance, and I was like, but war's bad.
But who thinks war's good?
Well, you know, I could think of a few people.
I don't know. I don't think that would be a popular decision. I think you do what you can. I don't know that you think it's good.
Why am I going to help the military if I think that, like, military conflict is just terrible?
Well, if you believe your side is more right than the other.
I don't necessarily think that's a thing.
Oh, you don't?
Very rarely.
Okay. I think we know evil, and you know what's interesting about the generation now? I hate to be so generational about this, but the generation now wants to take people who are long dead, who people liked, and people thought were good, and point out their flaws.
Like who?
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. But I don't, a lot of people, people are like that with a lot of people.
Well, you gotta, like, knock them down to your level, I guess. I don't know.
No, but what is the point of somebody living now, taking somebody who is long gone, ain't coming back, did good things in their life, and trying to dig up bad stuff? Well, they were terrible.
Like who?
Well, you're
talking about Einstein and the nuke?
Well, I don't know if Einstein was terrible. All I'm saying is there is a propensity amongst this generation to do that. I don't remember generations before that caring all that much about the popularity. You might have liked what they did, you might not have liked what they did, but you didn't care about their popularity. Now everybody is so laser-focused in on you. This person's bad, this person's not. There's no gray area with people. I think everything is gray.
Yeah, most things tend to be gray, yeah.
Yeah, but then there's, well, do you?
Yeah.
Well, you don't sound like it when you listen to this show.
I mean, it'd be no fun if I was just like, well, you know.
No, it's very funny to me. You know, people were dying when FDR came into office, and now people want to find reasons why the things he did were bad.
FDR?
Yeah.
Well,
at that time, if you were dying, and you'd lost all your money, and you'd lived under Herbert Hoover, and you'd seen the collapse of the country, you really didn't care what the person had to do who was going to fix that problem. And I don't think he did either.
Well, he tried to stack the Supreme Court.
Son said, maybe he's particularly on my mind because of watching the Roosevelt documentary, but, you know, his son said the only time he ever saw fear in his father's eyes was when he took the oath of office to become president, because he was walking into a horrible situation.
Somebody had to fix it, I guess.
I don't, but see, that's it, that somebody would have fixed it. No, and I think that was
somebody
FDR.
Somebody had to fix it. I didn't say somebody would.
I think that's why he is who he was. I don't think many people could have, and I think he was just the right person at the right time. I think history does that in a weird way. I think a lot of people say, well, somebody would have came along. I don't know that they would have. And I think he was the right guy at the right time.
I don't know. I mean, he got us out of the Great Depression, I guess, but, you know, I mean, it's not like the Great Depression was just us. I mean, it was the Great Depression.
The man
it was
thought,
a global depression.
The man thought brilliantly. I mean, his quote when he came in.
Well, you know.
See, there you go. I told you.
Look, he tried.
Your generation just likes to tear people down.
He
but
tried
the point
to
is,
stack the Supreme Court in his favor.
There was,
were a lot of things he did.
Without him, there is no country. There is no Supreme Court. Who cares? There's nothing. On two different fronts, he protected the democracy. And guess what? We still have a Supreme Court. Guess what? We still had a functional democracy when he left.
Well, I mean, to some extent.
Really?
To some extent.
Oh, okay. Again, his quote when he came in was, I forget who came to him, but said, you'll either be seen, if you fix this problem, you'll either be seen as the best president ever, or you'll be seen as the worst president ever. And he said, if I fail, I'll be seen as the last president ever. And I think he was right.
I don't know that that's true.
Well, you don't know because you didn't live in that time, but that's exactly how it was. It's very hard if you didn't live in that time.
Everybody!
And I only know that from 9/11.
The entire,
and trying to talk when other people are talking on this show. It's very difficult.
The entire world was undergoing the Great Depression. It's not like the Americas, it's not like we just got slapped and everybody else was in a golden age. Everybody had a Great Depression.
I think Germany was in a golden age during that time. They came out of that, and Hitler decided he was going to take over the world.
Hitler came to power because of how weak Germany was.
Right.
No.
Right. And you
Hitler,
don't think
no,
it's
the Germany is a new
I know you love Hitler.
Is a golden age.
That's the funny thing about this generation. They love Hitler. They hate FDR.
There is no loving of Hitler.
Oh yes, there is.
I like World War II.
Oh yes, there is.
I like.
There are kids now. Oh yes.
I mean, yes, anti-Semitism is definitely a big thing as of currently, but no. Hitler certainly did not put Germany in a golden age.
You don't think Germany was
Hitler
the strongest and most powerful that they've ever been under Hitler?
No!
Oh, really?
They had more enemies than ever under Hitler. The German Empire was bigger than... I mean, the German Empire was better than the Third Reich.
No, I'm talking...
And the German Empire collapsed after World War I.
You think they were more powerful prior to World War I? Absolutely not.
Like the Bismarcks? Yes. The Bismarcks, yes.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, they lost World War I and they caused the collapse of Germany, but like prior to like World War I, yes.
So you believe that Germany was the world superpower prior to World War I? Not the Soviet Union. Not America.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because there was even naval treaties because the British were getting all a little like spooked because the Germans started making a whole bunch of ships, so they had to make a naval armistice. No. Germany was scary at one point.
Oh yeah, it was called World War II.
Yes, they were scary during World War II also.
Also.
Yeah. But Hitler had gave them more enemies than ever.
What was Germany doing at the time of World War I that made everybody hate them?
What was Germany... Well, World War I started like... I mean, there was a whole bunch of reasons for World War I. First off...
What was the world hate? Did they hate Germany? Was Germany trying to take over land? Was Germany trying world domination? Was Germany executing people, just execute them? Mass execution like we've never seen in the history of the world? Were they doing that prior to World War I?
Well, colonizing? Definitely colonizing. Mass
execution. So they were taking over France. They were trying to take over the United Kingdom. They were trying to go into the USSR.
Whoa.
They were doing that prior to World War I.
They weren't doing those particular things.
So you don't believe Hitler was trying to take over the world?
Oh, yes. Yeah, Hitler was trying to take over the world. Yeah. Lebensraum. Lebensraum.
And how close did he get?
Well, I mean, not very.
Oh, not very.
He got Europe.
If United Kingdom had fallen, that would have been it.
No.
Yes.
The Soviets were still fighting.
The Soviets were losing. You think Stalin joined up with the United States because he liked us? Clearly not.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly. And he was in trouble.
Well, I mean...
And then Hitler had to spread.
They still lost. I mean,
if he doesn't spread, he takes over the USSR. If the forces are not spread on two fronts, he takes over.
The USSR started, like, yes, Germany made a lot of progress into Russia up until the Russian winter hit. And then when the Russian winter hit...
And why?
Stalin called in a whole bunch of troops from the Siberian front, especially trained to fight in the snow.
And why was
that? And then Germany started getting pushed back. And also, Hitler overextended because he wanted Stalingrad, because the name Stalin was in it.
So
there were oil fields down there.
So Germany's army wasn't already spread.
Oh, yeah, they were spread then. They were, yeah. I mean, because they were in France. They were fighting. They were helping Italy because Italy's incompetent.
They were fighting us.
They were fighting everybody.
If they're not fighting...
Germany was fighting the world by themselves.
If they are not fighting the United States, Stalin does not win that. I don't care what the winner was like. It's over for him. And if we don't help Churchill, they're gone. And that would have been it. And if they don't have to fight those other wars, we're gone. So that is the most powerful Germany has ever been. That is the closest they've ever come to world domination. That is the most powerful. And to say anything else is ridiculous.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely ridiculous.
They were not, you don't know, they were definitely not in a golden age.
I don't even know what you're referring to. Golden age of what?
You ever heard of, like, the Roaring Twenties?
Yeah, I understand.
That's a golden age.
Well, for everybody. Yeah, but what are you talking about?
That's my point. The Great Depression was a global thing.
That's supposed to be one of those things I'm missing.
It's
again.
Not like, so you're telling me that just every country during the Great Depression who like had a change of leaders, it was just perfect leader to solve the problem? No.
No,
it was a global
that?
Thing.
Who said that?
You said had it not been FDR, we probably would have collapsed.
I do think that's true, yes.
Well, I disagree.
Because I believe Hoover was not doing the right things. And I believe for the rest of his life, people felt that. I believe if we don't have public works programs in the 1930s, yeah, we're in big trouble. If things had continued the way they had under Herbert Hoover, we would have had major, major issues.
Towards the end of Herbert Hoover's term, he started doing things. It was just too little too late. It was no salvaging his popularity at that point.
Well, why didn't he do them earlier?
Because originally he thought it would just fix itself.
See, I think, again, you're reading the wrong books. But I love this revisionist history by young people. We hate FDR, so let's work. It's what it is.
I don't know if that's the case.
FDR was just in the right place, prime time. A really dumb guy who just happened to fall in.
No, I didn't say
during
that.
The Great Depression. Hoover already had it turned around, so
yeah!
FDR just happened to come in.
Let me rephrase.
When World War II happened, he just happened to do the right things.
No, lucky fellow. Okay.
Lucky 12 years there.
Okay, now, what was the first point there? Now I got to go through and.
No, it's insane. I can't talk to you about this.
No.
Because it is so ridiculous.
Look, okay.
I don't know. FDR's the devil for people. I don't really understand that.
FDR was not a dumb man. I would not say FDR was a dumb man.
They should have just left Hoover in there. Been fine.
I think that whoever they ran against Hoover would have won because Hoover was that. I mean, there were homeless encampments called Hoovervilles because, you know, people disliked how Hoover was handling
But
things.
If that's a world thing, then why'd they blame it on him?
Because we live in the United States.
Oh, so everybody's got that bad rap around the world. All the leaders at that time had that terrible bad reputation. No.
Probably
name
not,
one.
Though.
Name one other.
Well, I mean, there was, you know, a lot.
None. A lot. Who?
World War II, or like right before World War II.
No, the Great Depression. Who has this bad rep?
The Great Depression is right before World War II. Stalin.
Hello. Stalin gets
Mussolini.
A bad rep they get a bad rep for the Great Depression.
Not for the Great Depression necessarily, but the Great Depression, like Mussolini, kind of got ushered
I'm
in.
At my question. Follow me here. One question I'm asking you. I'm not asking about World War II.
All right.
I'm saying who gets a worse reputation for the Great Depression than Herbert Hoover?
In the United States?
No, in the world. If the world's under a depression at that point, and everybody. Is getting
if you ask the majority of people in the world, I don't think they know who the president was during the Great Depression.
At that time, they did.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. I haven't heard a name yet.
I mean, I don't know a lot of the world leaders. I mean, like, look, yes, Stalin is probably not happy. I mean, Stalin was murdering a lot
so
of people.
So you believe
Stalin.
That Hoover was just timing. That's what this is all about. He just happened to be there in the wrong time.
I think that, yeah, no matter who you put there, when the Great Depression happens, they're going to be unpopular.
Okay.
And then they're probably going to lose that election.
Okay. It has nothing to do with Hoover's ultimatum with the banks. Has nothing to do with the money not being backed up. Has nothing to do with privatization of the banks in the United States. It's a world economy thing that he just couldn't stop.
I'm not saying the man, like, handled it.
He was
like,
a genius. Hoover was an absolute genius. I'm surprised he's not number one on the president list. He really was fascinating.
No.
He just ate timing. Poor man, timing.
No.
And they wanted him to run earlier. If he'd just run in the 20s, he'd have been fine. But he ran at the wrong time.
Oh, now, to be president in the 20s probably would have been a good thing. Yeah, I mean...
Not for Harding.
Well, Harden was very popular at that time.
He's now down at the bottom.
Well, you know, that happens when you got...
So I guess I want to understand this, because I want this history lesson. Hoover was genius.
No.
Actually started to turn around the Great Depression.
Not what I said.
FDR... Yes, you did. You said before he left, he was already turning around things, but too little, too late.
He started to turn around... Like, when I say... Okay, let me rephrase. When I say turn around, like... Originally, he was doing nothing, because
his decisions had nothing to do with the Great Depression. He could have done exactly the same things he did, and it was still going to happen. His ultimatums to the bank, the fact that this country had nobody backing up the money at that point.
I mean, he made it worse.
Oh.
But towards the end, and the economy was already, like... He did recognize, whoa, the economy's not going to fix itself. We better do something. Well, it was too little, too late. And then by the time the election came around... What?
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 That's not fixing... To realize something is not fixing anything. Trust me, FDR realized that the country was in trouble. He still ran for president.
Yeah, but...
People living in the streets understood that things were bad.
Herbert Hoover understood things were bad. He just thought... It was gonna fix itself. It just needed time. And then he gave it time. And then, boy howdy, with time, it only got worse. So then he said, we ought to do something.
But wait a second, why didn't he just go out there and say, look at the world, folks? It's all bad everywhere.
Well, because...
This isn't my fault.
Well, because... What good would that do? Because
it's not true.
What do you mean?
Things were bad around the world, but they were bad... Hold on.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Things were bad around the world, but they were particularly bad here. And they were particularly bad here because of the decisions this man made. He had many ways along the line that he could have stopped this. And a matter of fact, the world does not operate on the stock market. And the stock market crash is what signaled the Great Depression in the United States. If the stock market didn't crash, the Great Depression doesn't happen to the extent that it did.
Yes, to the extent that it did.
Right. And that didn't happen in every country. So for you to say there's a world depression going
there
on.
There was!
Not like that.
Yes. Well, yes, not like that. I agree. But
so the Great Depression is not a world thing.
Yes, it was. It was just worse than you. It was just worse in the United States.
Lion.
Because, look, yes. Hoover made bad choices. Definitely made the Great Depression
you
worse.
You don't think that the stock... What caused the stock market crash?
What caused the stock market crash?
Hoover had nothing to do with that. His little ultimatum to the banks was not a problem.
Like I said, it worse.
Does the stock market crash if he doesn't give the ultimatum to the banks?
It probably wouldn't taken such a big dump, no.
Okay. And then once the stock market crashes and everybody loses everything... All the millionaires at that time lose everything. His decision is to not do anything. That's going to fix it.
Yep.
Yeah. So
that was the decision he made.
Two world-class decisions.
He said, it'll be fine. It'll fix itself.
And then ran for re-election with that idea.
I mean, I think they probably just let him run for re-election because they knew that he wasn't... Nobody was going to... No, the Democrat was winning that
race.
And
you don't think that FDR coming in with the Public Works program turned this country around?
Sure. I think I'm not... For its time, it was useful. But then we just kept it around and expanded it and kept it around and made it bigger and kept it around.
But that's what that's the problem. I'm not talking about... You can have your problem with the consequences of what FDR did.
Yes, it fixed the country at the time.
And I'm saying...
And then we just kept it.
But if you don't fix the country, there is no country. That's where it was headed under Hoover. Eventually... There were going to be enough people in the streets, there would be no economy, and that's when you overthrow the government. And it was about to that point.
Yeah.
So, had Hoover been left in power, had people said, you know, this is just a world thing, let's leave that guy in there. This whole idea of just correction is going to work. No. Well, this country would have failed.
Yes, I mean, they were unhappy with him. I mean, he made it worse. He made it worse.
So you think there was a world recession going on in 2008?
No, that was a specifically housing market.
Right. But do you think George W. Bush knew what he was doing?
No. I don't think George W. Bush had a clue.
But you think Hoover did?
Well, no.
And you don't think Obama coming in with the decisions?
Well, I think FDR also had the luxury, if you will, of watching Hoover flounder.
Now this is a history lesson, folks, for this show tonight. Hoover was actually a very good president.
No,
that's what you said.
No, that's not what I said.
It was a world depression.
It was a world depression.
Hoover, he was fine. He just got caught in the wrong place at the wrong
time.
Not
what I said.
Poor man.
Not what I said.
And he was actually fixing the depression when FDR came in.
Not what I said.
If he had just been given more time, he had these great ideas, he was going to fix the depression.
He might have.
Yep, there you go.
But.
And.
FDR came in and FDR did the work instead.
And Germany saw its height.
No.
Prior to World War II.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. And that's when they were really in charge of the world, was prior to World War II. They really knew what they were doing then. And, that's the closest they came to ever being a dominant power.
They were a dominant power.
Yeah.
They were a dominant power in World War II also, I'll give you that, but they didn't last long. Hitler, Nazi Germany lasted from, 30, when did Nazi Germany itself become a thing? World War II started in what, 38, 37?
What I am saying, just so I'm not misunderstood here tonight.
They were around for 12 years.
I think you're misunderstanding again. I'm saying taking Germany from the armpit of the world and doing what Hitler did, almost taking over the world.
It was pretty easy, apparently, too. All it did was shove everybody in the military.
I don't think it was easy.
He said, hey, we got a lot of unemployment. I'm going to give everybody jobs. And then they elected him. Well, they didn't elect him. They elected a whole bunch of people,
right.
And then he got appointed.
Why wouldn't that do that?
But anyways, he just shoved everybody in the military.
And you don't think FDR could have done
that? Everybody's got jobs.
And you don't think FDR could have done that?
Shoved everybody in the military?
No, he couldn't have just went, listen, I'll give you all jobs. And he could have just done what he wanted and completely disregarded the courts. He could have completely disregarded the Congress, completely disregarded the Senate. He could have done that.
Well, that's not exactly how Hitler did it.
Pretty much, does he became a dictator. Did FDR become a dictator? There are still things FDR knew there were things. He wasn't even allowed to choose his own vice president after being in three terms because the Democratic Party knew he was going to die. You think FDR did not want civil rights? Of course he did. But he knew he couldn't get it through.
Well, I think FDR...
They told him. You're not going to get that passed.
I think FDR had, World War II and, Germany to worry about.
That's another thing. You think he did not go? You think he thought he could go to Congress and say, you know what, listen, I can get reelected no matter what I do. You people don't matter. And we're going to war. That's it. We're done.
Well, that's, kind of what happened.
No, that's not what he did.
I mean...
He had to make deals.
He ran for election saying, I will not send any people to die in Europe.
Right.
And then, look at that. We sent young people to die in Europe.
So you wanted us to stay out of that?
Well, he lied. He didn't have to lie.
So you would rather have somebody... You would rather have Dewey. We'd all be singing the praises of Dewey today.
Well, he said the same thing, so maybe he would have lied also.
Do you think FDR...
They both said we will not send any people to die in Europe.
Do you think FDR planned to do that?
To send people to Europe?
Yeah.
No.
I believe FDR believed...
He certainly was already on the side of the UK at that point. We were selling him guns and stuff.
Right, I believe he thought Lend-Lease would work. But when you're attacked, you're attacked. And the country felt that way, too.
Well, we got bombed.
How are you supposed to predict that?
The bombing of Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
I do believe we did know... We just didn't believe or something like that. I gotta look into that. But, yeah. I'm pretty sure there were intelligence reports that...
Just remember,
Pearl Harbor.
Hitler's, not much. And he was, just there, I guess.
For about 12 years, yeah.
If you really want to know about Germany, go to pre-World War I. That's when their big roundabout was.
Yep.
Okay. And Hoover,
the German Empire, yep.
Hoover is genius.
Back when they had, Otto von Bismarck and then,
I'm surprised we don't have a Herbert Hoover Day. We really should. And the only thing the man has named for him is a vacuum cleaner. Isn't that terrible? Now, that is wrong if I've ever heard anything.
He's the cleanup.
Well, he lived in an apartment for the rest of his life in New York. Lived to be 90 years old.
And nobody liked him.
No, he wasn't invited anywhere.
Yeah, nobody liked
People
him.
People didn't want him at parties. They didn't like him much. He didn't go to FDR's funeral.
Why?
I don't think he liked him. Jealous.
Well, it's not it's not FDR's fault that he fixed it.
So what's coming up next?
Next hour, we're going to be talking about, the NFL draft, and we're going to be talking about, politics.
Run Hoover's biography down. I think everybody should know about the great man.
No, look, Hoover made it worse. I will say, yes, he made the Depression worse, but, you know, FDR fixed it. He just did it in a way that I wasn't exactly fond of.
All right. We're done. coming up next, sports and politics. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Beating America and the Ad Council.
Marion Self-Storage is a proud supporter of WGH Talk Radio. Telephone number 220-666-0956. Email info@marionohselfstorage.com. Web address www.marionohselfstorage.com.